Hey, honey, want to try something different this weekend?
Ooh, what do you have in mind?
Have you ever role-played before?
You mean like whips and all that other scary stuff?
Oh, no. I'm talking about rolling some dice and playing some Dungeons & Dragons. Or even trying something like a cool new board game or a collectible card game like Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that sounds way better than the other thing.
NobleKnight.com is your one-stop shop for all things role-playing, board, wargaming, and collectible card games. Noble Knight Games is committed to providing you with the best possible selection of new and used products with a selection of over 100,000. Everything on the site is in stock and ready to ship to you worldwide. Discounts are available, and you can expect reasonable prices for rare items. You can even sell or trade your stuff to them. NobleKnight.com, where out of print is available again.
So I can be the elf this time, right?
Oh, honey.
Throughout the ages, there have been heroes and warriors who have embarked on quests to save faraway lands and free the people from would-be conquerors. With dice and not a lot of common sense in various role-playing games. Today, our legends come from the halls of This Week in Geek. An unlikely group of nerdy adventurers, armed with some pretty stupid ideas and a horseshoe up their butts, come together to save the day in These Warriors Are Terrible. Seriously, these are the guys we're gonna go with?
Welcome back to These Warriors Are Terrible. Tonight, we are debriefing after the Transformers RPG done in the Big Eyes Small Mouth revised second edition system. I have wrestled back control from Steve, and as always, we are sponsored
by Offworld Designs. No. I'm not putting the commercials there.
Oh, we're not putting the commercials
there? No. I was putting them at the front end.
Okay, mom.
So I was wondering why you guys were pausing there, but no, that was supposed to be for your, we're back!
Yeah.
Transformers thing. Don't worry about
the commercial
it.
Thing, but we're not doing that now, so. Yeah.
All right. Five
we're
seconds.
Sponsored by, well, I'll say it then.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're sponsored by offworlddesigns.com. If you go to the promotion bro Hooth Singular, you get 10% off your purchases, as well as nobleknight.com, which actually provided me with both the books that I used for this evening for the recording, which is a big help because I wanted to get my hands on these books for a while, period. And I'm done talking. Let's start talking.
Well,
I'm Birdman. I'm Mike.
I'm Julian. I'm an Autobot.
I am Connell Macbeth, a.k.a. Dr. Holocaust, and I like bombs.
I'm Steve Snowball Sailor, apparently a traitorous bastard.
Apparently he's a Decepticon.
A Decepticon, yeah, loyalty. Okay, well, I mean, I don't have a huge amount of experience with Transformers. I mean, I love the movies. I did watch a little bit of the TV show.
By movies, he of course meant the 1987.
Yes, of course. Okay. What do you think I meant?
You said movies plural.
Oh, movies plural. Okay, so
The old animated film.
The old animated film, yes, especially with Orson Welles and Leonard Nimoy. And I did watch a little bit of Transformers Prime because it is on Netflix.
You should watch it because it's awesome.
It is really good. I do recommend it.
First five episodes are really rough, but I think it's really good.
That's okay. I didn't mind the five. But still, I don't really have that much experience with Transformers, but I've always been fascinated with the history. Yep. Going back to when we first started doing this week, I think our very first movie review was Transformers.
Yep, I remember going to that in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, and
I had the entire large drink spill on my crotch.
Yes, you did. But I remember getting into the, because before we went into the movie, Mike gave me his sort of like big, huge book of, it was like an illustrated, it was like an illustrated version of basically what each Transformer was. And I got to look at the history of it, and I loved the history of Cybertron. Mm-hmm. It was like a really cool story that I really wanted, like I hadn't really thought about since until you brought it up that was going to be the story. So for me, this was fun to be able to play in that universe.
For this session, I had to kind of bastardize Cybertron history a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if you know, we were following the G1 storyline, but if you know the G1 storyline from the episode, the five episodes, Five Faces of Darkness,
yeah,
it's revealed that the Quintessons took over Cybertron, but Transformers couldn't transform at that period of time, and Megatron didn't exist until much later. And later on, the Autobots had the ability to transform.
Yeah.
They win the first war against the Decepticons, and then there's another war when the Decepticons, Megatron shows up. And that's the Third Great War.
Okay.
That's why they call it the Third Great War. In recent history, though, they've said that across all the canon, there's Unicron, there's the lineage of Primes, and everyone comes from Primus. So I just kind of compressed everything to say, you guys can transform now, Megatron's here now, and the Autobot Decepticon War is going to start as soon as this ends.
Oh, okay. Well, Julian, I mean, you do have to take off during this recording, but so why don't you say your thoughts?
Well, what I really like about Transformers in general is that, like, this is something that started off as toys,
yeah.
and then tons of vehicles with which to sell toys, but it's got such a deep lore, it's surprising how much story exists around Transformers, so it's fun to visit that universe in a very different way. It was a fun campaign. I liked our characters. I wish... I think now that I know the system, now that I've played it, I would respect differently, and we talked about this between episodes, but I think that would be something that I would be much, you know...
Big Eye Small Mouth is one of those systems, at least in their first incarnation. I've only played the second edition a couple of times. It's so broken. There are so many ways to take advantage. If you basically min-max the system, you're a fucking god.
I don't believe in RPG min-maxing in general because I think we're here to just tell a collective story and have fun.
Yeah.
But it seems exploitable. But I had a lot of fun, and it was a great campaign. I loved it. It was
cool.
Yeah. We had some fun moments.
Although one thing I will say about BESM in terms of customizability, Mike used a book called Big Robots Starship.
Cool Starships.
Yeah, and that's a module book. BESM at its core is GURPS like. You can take
it's also very anime focused. The name in itself.
It's a system that's built for a lot of escalation. Big Robots Cool Starship.
I think that's why it's called Big Eye Small Mouth. It's an anime thing.
Big Robots Cool Starships. A lot of the rules that were in here were in Big Robots Cool Starships. I just needed that for all the expansion stuff. What is this? The detail of this, the detail of that. I could have run this right out of this book if I wanted to. I wanted that extra little bit to help me out. I could theoretically run anything I wanted to off of this.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot of, like, obviously mecha abilities, which would have helped.
Paranormal abilities.
Yeah.
There's an ability in here, I'm surprised no one, I would have actually allowed someone to take it, to just create darkness.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can just create darkness. It's an ability. And the limit is on how big the darkness is.
It would have really messed with the storyline.
It kind of, a little bit,
someone had taken that. I mean, it's
darkness, but I have, like, sensor. Like,
you know what?
Sensors and things like that.
Looking at this, just giving a quick flip through the rules, because, like, and to be completely honest, here's the thing for the folks at home. I didn't even bother to even half look at the rules before showing up tonight. And Mike was kind of like, okay, so here's how a few of the mechanics work inside of maybe like 5 minutes of sitting down together. And then he hands me the rule book and he's just like, read through some of these skills. I was immediately able to pick up this game.
Yeah.
It was not something that was difficult. And I don't consider myself to be an overly intelligent person. So like going through these rules, I was like, yeah, you know, this is super intuitive. It's really easy to pick up. And much like other games that are non, mini based or anything like that, it really does depend on the storyteller.
Yeah.
So whether or not this game is going to turn out well, because there can be like vengeful, hateful, just bad storytellers that are going to just put your players through the ringer and make things unfun for them. And then there's also good storytellers that can just make this world really open up and flesh out and follow the weird lines of logic that we started creating when we were going along. Some of the dumb shit that we were getting up to. Looking at this rule system, though, the first thing that comes to mind, and some of you aren't going to know what this is, Phantasy Star Online.
I was
looking at this, I was like, because the character that I'm playing here today, Loader, is a character that was based off of one that I used to play in PSO called Killbot. And it's just like, that would be just so much fun if we could run a PSO through this system.
Well, I would love Phantasy Star in general.
Yeah.
I love the storyline.
Running.
Phantasy Star, someone else is going to be mad for that.
It's really well fleshed out if you've played the games, but it was a game that was originally released for Dreamcast, way ahead of its time, just in terms of the graphics and gameplay. Way ahead of its fucking time.
I think there's even still servers going.
The last one got shut. The last official one was shut down, or is shutting down in September.
There's a new PSO that's come out, though.
New one, but it hasn't been localized yet.
It's very nice, and it is only in Japan. It doesn't just allow for tech; it allows also for magic and
a million other things. Is just the fact that Beast Wars Are Terrible tends to get very epic very quickly. Like the escalation level in our campaigns gets crazy.
Well, it's a 4-hour campaign.
Yeah. What I liked about this though is it just felt like an episode of.
Show.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's
not a movie. It wasn't super epic. We're not powerful enough to deal with anything that epic.
Yeah,
it felt like an episode of a TV series.
And I think we kept saying that it was too easy. Is the fact that we're always expecting that huge epic battle,
someone to die, or
just like a huge.
The question was, and I was actually rolling to see if you got far enough to reach Orion Pax. Because if you didn't get to him in time, for him to see you, you would have taken that tracer right to Sentinel's front door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You got out of there fast enough for him to spot.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I will say this. I mean, this is, like, I think, maybe the third or fourth system that I played under your GM. And I like a lot of different systems that we have played. By far, this is the simplest. I mean, come on, it's just two dice.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of this.
That's
Certain RPGs require you to carry around a fucking book bag.
Yeah.
This you can just put in the backpack along with whatever else you want.
Yeah, it's like
a very small book.
A few sheets of paper, a small-ass book. The character sheets are insanely simplistic with the way that they're put together. And 2d6!
And there's, like, virtually no math involved, unlike, say, Pathfinder. It's totally just over.
Yeah, Pathfinder is, like, an insane amount of mathematics, which is can be nice because it adds, like, a level of complexity which you can really sink your teeth into if you want.
Narrative.
Yeah, this is more, that's like I was saying, it's way more based on your DM.
Well, the thing I like about BESM, and there's a rule I always find with new players, you always find an RPG that encourages them to be creative.
Yeah.
BESM has no character classes. It has powers.
Yep.
That's it.
You will all dictate exactly what you are and what you can do. As the GM should never let you have focused or massive damage because they're incredibly broken. But
which you didn't allow us to do, which is great.
No.
Yeah, no, that just, you would have destroyed everything. Like,
but I mean, like,
but it was focused,
massive damage, and multiple attacks.
Yeah, that we currently have.
And even then, you'll have noticed that most of our attacks were being done by Snowball here because he was just flying all over the place with these double attacks, just shooting at people. And like, most of the attacks he was landing, he was, at least in my opinion, doing the most damage to the party.
Yeah.
Simply out of that.
Away, right?
Surprisingly, yeah. I never thought that, like, because I have never been that kind of like a tank before. But it's like I was basically the tank for the group.
So he was the tank for the group.
Yeah, exactly.
I
was the DPS. Yeah, that's it.
Like, I had the most damage, but I hit two things.
Yeah.
No, one. I hit one.
You hit twice.
Okay, so over 4 hours, I had two dice rolls that fucking mattered. and that's, I don't know, I mean, sometimes the dice can get away from
you. The only thing I dislike about the system, is the last thing I'm going to say before I leave, is attacking is extra hard compared to every other roll, because you have to roll to hit, and then they roll to miss.
They roll to defend.
Which counter-rolling works, but nothing else in the game works that way.
The thing,
like,
actually, the thing is, with the defensive rolls, it never really came up because you were always one-on-one-ing everything.
Yeah.
The trick is you only get one defense roll at combat round.
And that's why.
So if three guys attack the same person, he can't guard multiple times.
Snowball's character was able to get two because his character was super fast and stuff like that. But
and
then,
he had a lot of health points. He could have died very easily.
Well, exactly. But it's like if multiple dudes are attacking you, then it's no good. And yes, a friend here has to leave.
Julian, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And enjoy the rest of the day.
Bye, Julian.
Right.
Take it easy, buddy.
No, I get paranoid about cats.
All right,
bye, Julian.
Yeah.
All right.
See ya.
But yeah, it's just I personally really like the way that the combat system was put up because it's really simple. You roll to see if you hit. If you confirm to hit, they roll to see if they get a defense. If they defend or not, then that's fine. But if they don't defend and you get through, you do one set amount of damage every time.
Yeah.
In games like Pathfinder, you can do anywhere between like 2 to 17, depending on how your dice roll out.
Yeah. I mean, unless anyone wants to talk about the system, I kind
of
want to talk about the story.
One of the things that I want to talk about tonight, this was a very big theme, the dice can get away from you.
Yeah.
And that's not me making fun of you. This is one of those, it's so weird.
I think yours, like, your dice rolls has been worse.
It was a
in
six
this
every
game
time.
Than any other game that we have played with you.
I've never seen you roll this bad.
Yeah.
That's weird. And I think
it's BSM. It brings out the best and worst in your roll.
I think in some
but
ways
it matters though. That's the one thing I like about BSM. Every dice roll feels like it friggin' matters.
Like, which is just great, but I mean, like,
because I love Scion. I love some of the White Wolf stuff, but at the same time, it ticks me off just a little bit that I'll be rolling 20 dice, or if I get to high level Pathfinder, the little things don't matter. In BESM,
the White Wolf games require
the difference
like an insane
of one number is always there.
Mm-hmm.
You guys in this, your skill points might have gone up. You rarely ever increase your attributes. You might reshuffle them. You can reshuffle them from session to session. But your attributes very rarely go up. You might get one every two or three sessions. And you'll just slowly store them up. And the game specifically says do not give your player – keep giving your players attribute points because you'll turn them into gods and everything will be pointless.
Mm.
You'll – as strong as you are in character creation is as strong as you'll ever really need to be.
Yeah. And the thing is I feel like for you, I feel super bad because every time we play, you always have like the worst roles ever. And the best rolls when it matters for us.
Yeah.
See,
when I play as a player.
Oh, when you. Oh, yeah. Fine. It's like, get away from you.
Yeah, this may be the only time, at least this is my opinion. I think this is the only time I think dice rolls affected story.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It felt too easy to me. And that's not a criticism. The dice were working against you.
I can only play that card so much.
In Mike's defense, I mean, there were two things going on here. One, I'm watching your dice rolls from over here, and I can see every single time you rolled, it was like six all across the board.
Right.
Yeah, like when he's rolling his two dice, at least one of them was a six almost every single time. So it was really hard for him to, especially using the fucking alligator robots, score a hit on us. One, two, he didn't have a gamer shield.
Yeah, it's true.
Most DMs will have a DM shield up so that when they're rolling their dice and they want to say flub a hit, say like, oh, my guy's going to like totally fucking rock this guy with a critical hit, I'm going to say he missed or he just regular hit him. Or I'm rolling and I want him to hit because this fight's going way too friggin' easy. I want to land like a blow on this guy. Then I want to like, I want to flub that roll either way. Just what DMs do.
Yeah, because I did that during Pathfinder. I had that game master screen.
Yeah.
I fucked up more than a few rolls. I'm thinking, this serves the point of the story.
I kind of had a little bit when I was running the Matrix. I mean, there was a few times that, there was a few times that basically that I had rolled extremely well or just really badly, and I just didn't let the players know, and I just I let things happen the way I wanted it to happen, and because they didn't see what I was rolling.
Now, do you think that
there's times? It really depends.
As long as you don't take advantage of it.
If you're not doing it all the friggin' time, then I would say not at all. But in
then
some
at
kind
that
of,
point, then what's
I was
the
running a 4th edition game
dice?
A while ago. I was running a 4th edition game, and it was just I just let the rolls go wherever the rolls were going. But if everybody was in a really bad situation through no fault of their own, just I had put too many monsters on the screen, and I needed them to start missing or something like that. Every once in every 4 or 5 attacks or something like that, be like, I missed.
Yeah,
even though he didn't.
What I
like
about
just,
it is that it sort of goes into the rule that Justin has told me about, and I am adopting this rule as kind of that for my own, especially when I'm running a game. It's called the rule of awesome. Basically, the GM has every right to be able to say, okay, yeah, you know what, you missed just because it's awesome, or you hit because it's awesome.
Yeah,
and you don't have to explain it. It's just that's just the way you want.
Yeah, because
roll it.
It makes it more interesting from a narrative standpoint, and I like.
Well,
see,
that's the thing.
I
wanted to
narrative stuff.
This one was heavily narrative. I will say this was the most heavily narrative I've run for these Warriors of Terrible.
And it's probably the most role playing we probably have done.
That's for Transformers specifically. I wanted that. Combat should have gone a lot harder. I will admit that.
But it's just a game.
It goes a lot faster, too.
What?
It goes a lot faster. Holy God.
Yeah.
BSM?
Yeah.
BSM, we just fucking breezed through combat.
Yeah. That's why I like it so much.
But they never felt particularly challenged. That's one thing that bothered me.
Well, I think that might have been the fault of... That's the fault of his roles and the fact we were fighting the same stupid alligator robots the entire time. No offense, but it's like the guys who are running it, as per the story, all they have is a bunch of alligator robots and Chaka Khan.
See, I was kind of hoping you'd invent... they maybe have minions that are...
They do. You never ran into them.
Yeah.
Because what happened was you guys used Megatron at the bridge. Here's the thing. I don't like throwing... I don't like throwing heavy for the sake of throwing heavy. Mm-hmm. You guys were smart at the bridge. There was a legion of shit there to fuck you up.
So my plan worked.
Yeah. You guys were in the water in the bridge.
Oh, the bridge.
The there were hundreds of Sharktacons coming at you.
Right.
Megatron detonated the water, and that was enough for you guys to escape. And the few that were ahead followed you.
Yeah.
And he destroyed those.
That's true.
Had you not done that, it would have been a swarm.
Hmm.
Which would have been really cool.
But, I'm not going to be – it's just for me, when I go into a situation, I don't like to tell the players what they have to do to get out of it.
Yeah.
And if they do it, I'm like, that's what happens. And the assumption is, and it sucks, that the assumption I keep getting is, oh, this was really easy. I'm like, no, you did the right thing.
And I guess that's maybe the fault of some of the campaigns we've had. They always feel epic in scope. And Julian hit it right on the head. This felt more like an episode as opposed to a movie.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Maybe that's the difference between you and me, Game Master.
Well,
I always want the huge stakes.
No, there is.
No, the stakes have always
been
huge. When have the stakes not been huge with me? This is the lowest. They weren't even low.
To be fair, this is probably the game, the story that we kept saying. It's almost too easy. And it just, I mean,
because there weren't anybody in between us and the objective we were getting. There was a story reason as to why that happened.
I think maybe we were just thinking of the fact that it's like we were always expecting the biggest baddie to come find us.
Like a big,
and so we were strategizing.
I'll tell you right now, that was never going to happen. It was always going to be a swarm.
But that's the thing. So so I'm thinking in my head, because we're always expecting the big baddie or the big battle,
so that we were strategizing really well.
And not just that, but also the rules.
The rules too. I mean,
there were how many encounters? How many encounters did we miss? Because you just rolled at like
10
fucking double sixes every time. And it was just like, yeah, no, these guys don't come over and stop. Like the door opens on a certain level. There's a whole bunch of Sharkacons standing in there just look at you and go, eh. And then you just keep going. Like
Quintesson scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's like, I honestly, like, Julian's right.
As for the rest of the campaigns being epic, let's go down the list. Everything I've always done has been try to ramp it up and be important. Yeah. Especially this. You just liberated all of Cybertron from the Guardians. Every city is free.
This would have been a good finale on the show.
Yeah, I think
it's a great episode.
I think what brought about the feeling that it wasn't necessarily a great big thing was that once we delivered the key, there was no stated objective of now that we have this, we can free all of Cybertron.
Yeah, well,
I did like how it splintered the divisions though.
Yeah,
well, that was really cool.
The big thing was,
that was so cool.
That was going to happen at the end. As soon as it got into Sentinel's hands, was Megatron was going to go nuts. I was expecting you all to talk him down. And then that escalated to something.
Well,
he had a point.
Understand, though, from a player standpoint, A, he had a point because he was like, we shouldn't be hiding, we should be doing what we want, A. And B, every time we've needed his help, he's just fucking wrecked shit. So, like, if any of us, especially considering the kind of person Megatron is, if any of us spoke up, it was a really good chance that that person was going
to
die.
It's like,
he never gives a reason to not trust him.
Well, and that's, and also the thing, too, is like, when we're it's almost like we're war buddies. We're in the trenches together. You will always stand by the guy beside you, the guy commanding you.
Which I thought was really interesting. I expected Dodd to go with him, no matter what. When Megatron walked out of that room, I knew Dodd was going with him. What I honestly expected you to do throughout this entire session was to keep trying to one-up Megatron and have him keep beating you down verbally.
See, my thing with that is I wanted not necessarily his respect, but to be on the same playing field. Like, I wanted to be that brutal gladiator because in my character background, which I kind of wish we got a chance to really explain what our backgrounds were, but once again, it's familiarity. If it comes up during role-playing, it comes out.
Yeah.
My guy was a gladiator from the pits. I specifically said mercenary during the thing because I don't believe in the Autobot cause. I'm looking for a good fight.
Well, yeah, and it was showing through your character. I mean, and the one thing that shocked me, I did not expect, like, to follow Megatron. Yeah. There was two things I did not expect. I did not expect that the Omega Key was originally lost to begin with.
Yeah.
That pissed me off because it's like, why send out a people that have never been Autobots before into a very very heavily guarded area to be able to steal something that you had lost before?
Didn't lose it though.
Well, that's the thing. That's my character thinking that was the case. You guys lost this. Why the fuck would you send in new people, new soldiers for your cause to try to be able to steal it back for you? Like that made no sense. And the fact as well, leadership was incompetent. And well, the fact that and also
the reason Sentinel dies.
Yeah, the second reason why I went with Megatron was because he was right. It's like we should be proudly displaying the fact that we are for hope, we are for freedom. And
no, he's not.
But again, as a player,
he's for freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice. As a player, as a character, not knowing who Megatron becomes.
Yeah,
it honestly made sense.
And nobody metagamed in that regard.
No,
that's good.
We metagamed outside of it. We made fun of the fact that it's like we're trusting Megatron with our lives. But again, as a player, as a character, I love the fact that when that switch went off in my head, I'm like, Megatron's right. I'm going with him.
Yeah.
Although Steve, if we ever come back, I don't think you're gonna stay with them.
Oh God, no! Like
it'll be like 20 minutes.
Once I see,
let's put them to the sword. No,
exactly. Once I see what Megatron does become into, I can guarantee my character or
Quicksilver would Autobots.
Quicksilver would die for a cause, or he would leave.
Yeah,
and
I would honestly be a goon.
Yeah, no, you'd be in there in the ranks. Yeah,
but think of it this way. I mean, I know it's sort of like situations leading up to it.
Yeah.
But Orion Pax is responsible for the split between the from Sentinels and Megatron.
Yeah, that was going to happen no matter what.
That was going to happen no matter what. Oh, cool. I like that.
I kind of like how this – I like what you gave Megatron as far as I'm concerned is depth.
Yeah.
Because every great leader in history has the potential to go bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this guy started out as a revolutionary, and with the speech that he gave to the Sentinel, that's what turned us, and that's what
turned me.
Yeah, I mean, good people can sometimes do bad things, but he had a point, and the fact that, you know, you're incompetent, you're going to cost lives as opposed to save them.
Yeah.
And I thought that, in terms of storytelling, I think this may have been your strongest in terms of characterization of
yes.
Really? Yeah. I like the motivation, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In Pendragon, I think we had the best role playing, especially in that last hour.
Yeah.
But here we got depth. We had characters we believed in.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the strength of this campaign in particular.
And the thing is, like, people could say, like, our characters are ourselves, we betrayed the party, we betrayed the game. No, we didn't betray anybody. We went with what we thought was right.
Yeah.
And we never betrayed any, like, we weren't traitors. We saw the situation as what it was. And it's the first time we've never, like, for me personally, like, it was a turning point for me as a player. I had never done that before. And I have never even was able, like, was that charismatic that I was able to, as a player, to be able to bluff my way through everything.
You carried the group.
I did not expect that. I've never done that before, and I'm so glad that I finally kind of broken through that barrier. Because now I'm, like, at a point where it's like, okay. I'm back to what I was when I originally started playing RPGs. It's like what I loved about being in RPGs was the fact that I could just sort of dip in and out into different characters. And because for over years, I just hadn't been able to play as much. Same as you when you hadn't played since high school. Getting back into it now over the past year, I'm now confident. I'm back to where I was when I originally started playing. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for anything now. And that to me is like absolutely incredible. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. This didn't – like, there was supposed to be a lot more combat, but we hit our 4 hours, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
I kind of regret how easy this seemed to you guys. Like, I do regret that it turned out that way. Like, I'm glad –
But you're writing two factors. You're writing the fact that you want to get the story in that you want to write, and then also
– Well, no, it wasn't about that. It was like you were going to – like, you were not going to – like, how were you not going to hit the points that I want?
But also as well, I mean, really? Again, it's the same with
– All I wanted you to do was you're going to go, okay, you're going to get in there. How you get in there is up to you.
Yeah.
You're going to get to the key. You're going to suspect something is wrong, and it really was just a complicated Quintesson trap to take the key back.
Right. Okay. So that explains
and then
a little bit better.
You got to the garbage scow, and Megatron at some point was going to bust those doors open.
Oh, okay.
And then all hell was going to break loose on you.
You just
got really easily out of that hell.
Yeah, I think we're we were lucky. B, we kind of strategically did a little bit.
So take that as a victory that I set up everything fairly. Got through it.
This would be a great opening session for an ongoing campaign.
Yeah,
true. I mean, if we weren't under the time constraint of 4 hours, then it would have been. Then
we come back next week and see what happens.
Well, exactly. Frankly, I mean, I would love to continue any of these campaigns that you guys are running. Like for the Pendragon or Pathfinder, rather. Absolutely, because I love Pathfinder as a system. And this was tremendous amounts of fun. Like, I'd like to either come back to this or, again, use the system for another game.
Now, would you like to know what happened to the Silver Cloak last week? He died via Mountain Dew.
What? Wait, what?
My bag with all my role-playing books in it. I had a can of Mountain Dew in there, and I dropped my bag on the floor, not even thinking about it.
Oh, no, all your books are damaged.
No, actually, surprisingly, my big bag of role-playing characters, my big pad of paper I see, saved all my Pathfinder books.
Oh.
But unfortunately, the Silver Cloak had to die under a green...
Oh, your character sheet of Silver Cloak. Oh,
yeah, I got it right from when he started talking.
I actually listened to
you.
Say
nothing about any role I ever do. But my books are...
fine. Being an outside player, finally getting to listen to it actually as a listener for a change, that episode to me was hilarious. The fact that you were sitting, like Big Mike was sitting downstairs, was singing, he couldn't do shit, and then everyone else, like, you killed a chicken, he kept trying to run, Yes, but anyway,
let's
sorry.
Let's keep talking about this. Like,
well, actually, I wanted to comment on something that Connor brought up, and it seems to be... Every single person that we brought on, like we just recorded, as of the time of this recording, just recorded our Pokemon game. And we brought in two new players that we had not brought in before, Ori and Shane. And every single one of them, it seems that every single new player we bring in, or any just any of the players, that is the most common thing that is said, is like, I want to play more in this game. I want to play more in this story. I want to play more in this universe. And I, well, as someone who helps, like, who's basically running the show, I love it because it just shows how much how passionate we are about these games and want to be able to see it move forward.
Absolutely. I mean, ostensibly, all of these, like, it's the mark of a good game and a mark of a good system that you're like, I definitely want to come back to this.
Yeah.
This is something I want to keep playing. And tabletop games, at their core, are games that you would continue playing over an extended period of time.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you play one session for like 4 hours or however long we're sitting down and we're playing for, and then you would come back again like another week or 2 weeks or whatever, and then just keep playing it. The great thing about tabletop games, they can just go on for as long as you want them to.
Yeah, like, for example,
there's no, like, you've killed the biggest, baddest guy and now the end credits roll, and, like, you know, if you want, you can play through the game again, but it's only got, like, limited flabbity blue. You can just do whatever you want with these things, and we've made some really great characters and some really fun systems and stuff, and I just, like, it freaking sucks.
For me, I love the stories. The stories have come. Yeah. Like, that's what I love with the show, is that storytelling takes a very major front seat to the show. And we have some amazing stories that it's like, I could totally see as either movies or TV shows or just written in books. Like, and it's all, what I love about it is that it's all cooperative. It's the GM coming up with the concept, and then the players are running with it. And then we get to, like, again, tonight, we had no idea that Mike and I were going to be able to split the party as we did. And
we had no idea Megatron was going to show up.
Exactly. That
I was surprised someone just screamed at me and said, "You lied to us."
Yeah. That, I mean,
damn right, again, I lied to you.
That's what I mean. As a writer,
going into this, I told everyone Megatron didn't exist yet. And yeah, I just did. Was expecting someone to just scream in my face. It's like, "There he is. You lied." I was like, "Yeah, I did. I felt good."
See, I was really hoping to get the mass conversion technology, because I was originally going to be, like Megatron, a big dumb.
Yeah, and I kept messaging, I was like, don't.
Yeah, like, no, don't do that. This is much cooler.
This is going to be, you're going to like this better.
Yeah.
You like it better?
Although I was supposed to be a triple changer, but the math just didn't work out.
Do you see how form change works in this?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a pain in the ass, because you basically take your points and you rebuild yourself.
Right? Yeah, it's kind of stupid.
Like, I managed to cheat it a little bit by saying you only have this vehicle mode and this in robot mode, but I, God, no offense, there was no way I was going to do that three times for one shot.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But like I said,
if I let you guys build your own characters, yeah, I would have let you do it.
Yeah.
But then I would have had to say you can't take massive damage, you can't take focus damage, you can't take extra attacks.
Yeah.
And that's no way to tell players to start off in a session. Yeah. There's no way I was going to do that to you guys. Whereas your sheets.
The only time that I would allow someone to take on something like massive damage is if they took, like, say, the artillery skill, and it's like, okay, so your transformer changes into an artillery cannon and can fire with that, but he can't move when he's in that form.
Now that you know the system, how this, it's supposed to be much more of the spirit of the thing.
Yeah, well, because it's the thing. It's like, don't make a character that's just going to min-max the crap out of it, because it's not the game is not necessarily based around the rules. The rule system is actually very loose and flowy.
Yeah.
The game system is more based around the narrative and the storytelling.
Yeah. I think because of the time constraints that we have, I mean, that's why I love the fact that we're not really min-maxing anything.
And, yeah, like, you get basic characters.
Yeah, and that, the rule lawyering, and I don't really like long campaigns. I don't mind it. I like to be able to have an expansive story that lasts a long time. Mm-hmm. But again, it gets to the point where people are going to lose interest. Whereas, like,
I find it really depends on your GM. For my Pathfinder game, I've been playing that since.
True, and there are great games that, like, Justin has told me he's played a game for five years, and it's like, that to me is amazing.
Yeah.
I want that experience.
I want that experience.
I've had that experience.
I want that experience.
I have that experience.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, for me, I love knowing a beginning and end to a story, a beginning and a middle and end to a story in a very quick succession. It's just, I don't know, I just love, I've fallen in love even as
a
writer.
You want to move on to the next story.
Exactly. I love sequential stories. Like, basically, I'm thinking like a television show. I love episodes of stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the games that we're playing, they're all episodes of things.
Well, keep in mind, Steve, this is mostly how most sessions will break down.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the structure of a lot of the old, fallen in love with a lot of the old adventure modules, and I'm reading them.
Yeah.
The Tomb of Horrors looks like the greatest convention of all time.
Which one of the systems that's for?
D&D? You know,
yeah.
D&D? Oh,
does, okay. You see, the fact I said Tomb of Horrors and no one looked shocked just speaks to the current education. It's kind of hilarious because the tomb invests something else entirely. If you want, look up Tomb of Horrors. I'll explain it after the debrief to the other people. But yeah, no, I'm just looking at the old adventure modules, and the entire thing was built around the philosophy. You do not beat the game as a whole, but you beat the challenge in front of you.
Yeah.
And that that is when you are playing a game to win.
Yeah.
And yep. I agree with that philosophy wholeheartedly. And that was kind of what I set up here. You are not, you have not won the war, but you have beat the challenge in front of you, and that liberated Cybertron.
That can be, I mean, in my opinion, that can be good and bad, because if you constantly give people, like, you know, this is a thing to win, mm. and they're trying to win at tabletop games, you don't win tabletop games, you play them.
Well, yeah, but you win the immediate challenge.
Yes, the challenge is set in front of you, absolutely, and then, yeah. you know, players being rewarded for being able to overcome said challenges, that's phenomenal.
Because then you get them invested, and then you start really seeing what they can do. Because for as much as I love what we do here, I would love to run you guys through something severely hard, which I'm going to start doing from now on. This Transformers, for me, because it's Transformers, was my last heavy storytelling session that I'm going to do here. Mm-hmm. It's changing from here on out, including the one-year anniversary, which I'm planning now.
Oh,
I will not be doing heavy story-focused sessions. They will be much more challenging and grueling from here on out.
Okay.
Well, that's not bad.
And now, is that sacrificing someone?
Not what it's mean.
No, I think there is a good balance that you can be able to make with that. We just haven't, out of all the games we played, I don't think we've really hit that yet.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're always focused. We're trying to be able to make sure the players are having a good time. We're trying to be entertaining for the listener, which is always fun.
What I have, like, a lot of fun with these things is that, like, I don't mean necessarily need to be trying to be entertaining. Like, it's just fun.
It just comes out.
Yeah, it's
There's a really good chemistry between players and stuff like that. And I think that we'd be just as amusing if people weren't listening to me. Like, and people, we didn't have the mics here. I think that we'd be just as amusing.
Oh, totally.
And be having just as much fun, which is, again, one of the things that really speaks to tabletop.
And I don't even think we try to be entertaining. We're just,
honestly,
that's what I'm saying.
It comes to the quote.
We just do whatever we're doing, and it comes out really well.
It comes to the quote that I've used for years, and Mike, you probably heard this many times, is if you're interested, you'll be interesting. And that's the thing. We're all interested, and we're all passionate about role-playing games, and it just comes off as that. And yes, our personalities definitely do mesh really well together. I'm surprised that we're able to get, like, 14, 15 people to be able to mesh really well, no matter who's playing what game. I mean, we've sort of purposely today mixed up this some of the players. I mean, Julian has never hasn't really played with us before.
Yeah.
And I haven't played with Connell before, but and I love the fact that we could be able to swap out anybody and the entertainment factor
is
still there.
I love being able to swap out players. And I've even told you, Steve, I'm benched for this one, bring in someone new. Mike's not going to GM, you're going to GM. I love the fact that we have that interactivity.
And we can just keep moving people around.
We have so many storytellers in our group. Like, I'm looking forward to Tom's game.
Yeah.
That'll be
Wild Talents is. I control gravity, a primal force, and he doesn't know because I'm a huge science nerd of this shit. Because he gave me the highest level of that power. Hi, I can create singularities with this. I can.
Well, if you've ever played the game Mass Effect, you can just.
Okay, fair enough.
Bionics. Bionics is the controlling of gravity on, like, a large and small scale.
But yeah, there's so many. I'm looking forward to playing under Tom. Derek, because he knows World of Darkness at the back of his hand.
I can't wait to once we finally can be able to play White Wolf, and I can guarantee that that'll happen because when inside sort of meta gaming or meta outside of the episode, we talked to the people who works at White Wolf. No, CCP.
Oh.
They own White Wolf.
Okay.
And there's a definitely good chance that we could be able to do more stuff with them.
That's
so.
Cool.
And if not, I own almost a complete library of all the old stuff.
But still,
I just run Scion and Exalted with my eyes closed.
Getting back to the Transformers that we were playing, I just wanted to drop a thing. I agree in that this very much felt like, you know, a season finale to the show, and I think that that spoke really well for the game. Mm-hmm. I, like, every time I was sort of envisioning everything that was happening in the game, like, sort of my imagination, it was all in that, like, bad 80s cartoon look. Absolutely everything, and it was just, like, you know, just the look and the feel of it came together really well, and I was really enjoying that.
You know what, just while I'm thinking of it, because I know you'll recognize what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Did you read the MicroMaster series from Dreamwave?
No.
Shit. Okay. Did you read The Age of Wrath?
No.
What the fuck Transformers books did you read?
Not any.
Okay.
I watched the shows.
Well,
I read the comic, and this felt like a comic book. Like, I could visualize what you were saying.
I actually, for me, I visualized it as the TV show. Because I like going up the elevator.
I've watched so much G1, and it was just like it just looks everything, the way everything was set up, and the way everything was playing out. Like, oh, it's suddenly a trap, or they're stuck in the back of a truck, and I was just like, yeah, this feels exactly like the show.
Yeah,
this is so much fun.
Being in the comm tower, like I could picture
being
that.
Being in the comm tower,
I immediately first thought of like the way that the modern movies will kind of think of how that comm tower would look, and I'm like, no, that I immediately thought in my head, no, that doesn't. That's not how it would look. It looks as soon as we got on the elevator platform. Yeah. I was like, nah, this is an 80s show.
I pictured really a lot of very vibrant colors in this.
Yes.
Which is really, like, for me, for some reason, I pictured you as, like, that Springer green.
Yeah.
That's what I pictured for him. I'm thinking, man, I visualize this just like the show, like the comic book. Like, it's really neat. Like, I really wish we could get, like, Alex Ryan from the Transformers Dreamwave run to draw something like this. That would be so fucking cool. So, dude.
It was a lot of fun putting this together. And I also just wanted to say that it has been an absolute treat to be playing these games with you guys. Like, I'm really glad that you guys picked me up and brought me up to play. Like, these Warriors are terrible with you guys. Now, this is the third game that I've been in. And I can't just express how much fun this is and how great an opportunity it is. So I just want to say thanks for that.
I look forward to this every month.
Thank you for coming on board.
Yeah,
like,
you're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope I did the Transformers justice.
You totally did.
Bad roles aside, I hope it was fun.
For me, it was. I mean, you know me, but it's the story that always gets me.
Well, I hope the story was good. I hope it was fun for all the flaws that it had.
Yeah. The characters were great.
The characters were great.
I just hope it was all very strong and memorable. And I hope you guys enjoy it, because it's going to be about 1 year I've been role-playing with you now. My kid gloves are coming off.
Good.
Fantastic.
Well, I've maintained this, even if you disagree with me, I've always been playing fair.
Yeah. That's how you should play.
That's going to stop.
Oh, great.
As long as you're fair within the rules.
I'm fair within the rules, yeah, but
just don't be a dick. For the sake of
I can't
dick.
Promise that, Dot.
Did you see how he plays as a player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be that big of a dick to us.
So now we have to be new.
Let it begin, gentlemen. And for that, Julian has left us, but he gives us his best will. I am Big... My mic touched my chest. You do not touch the Autobot logo. I am Big Mike from the 404s.
I am Mike Don, the Decepticon fan page.
I am Connell Macbeth, also known as Dr. Holocaust, playing Loader.
And I'm Steve Snowball Sailor, playing the Decepticon Quicksilver.
And as always, these warriors are terrible.
Bombs!
You have just listened to This Week in Geeks. These warriors are terrible. Did our terrible warriors succeed in saving the day? Did someone do something completely insane and stun the GM into a stupefied silence? And lastly, did someone get punched square in the goodie bags? Also, are there any settings or RPG systems you'd like the terrible warriors to visit? Do you have your own shameful, awesome, or just plain silly RPG adventures? Tell us with a comment on this episode post, or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Until next time, geeks and gamers, the dice has been put away, the books back on the shelf, and the Cheetos stuck to the floor. For these warriors are terrible!